Praise God. You're listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Good morning. I'd like to start off by saying a prayer. Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, sustainer, Lord, we lift you up and we praise you. How excellent is your name in all the earth. You are the Most High God. You are the one true God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to us today, Lord, because we're listening for a word from you. Father, we give all of our shortcomings and all of our faults, Lord, and to you. We apologize for all of the times that we've fallen short, that we were too weak, or we made the wrong choices, Lord, and we missed the mark. We ask that you forgive us for our sins, Lord God. And Heavenly Father, all of those that are struggling in these perilous times, and all of those that really need a powerful touch from you today, Lord, I pray that you would show yourself mighty, that you would be glorified in every situation, Lord God. And I believe that you will. Lord, I know there's many out there with needs, Lord. And even when I don't know what to pray, Lord God, I know you know what we need. So I'm trusting you, Lord. And I'm coming to you on behalf of all those that may not have the ability or the wherewithal to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I was asked a question by someone, and it's a question that comes up quite often, and some people have actually lost faith in God and their whole lives have been turned around by this very question. It's a very complicated question sometimes, the way that it's put forward. Let me read to you some scripture before I get started talking about this question. I want to read to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Praise God. That's the word of God. That's not my word. Someone asked me, do you believe that if something bad happens to someone, is God punishing them? And they gave this example, a child being hit by a drunk driver. And they asked the question, is that a child being brought down by God's wrath? They go on to say, and if the drunk driver has enough money to hire a good attorney to keep him out of jail, has God favored him? They make the statement, so God punishes the evil child and rewards the drunk. You know, I don't know if this person was sincere or not, or if this was a trap or you know, but I'm gonna just say that this person might have been sincere in asking these questions, because heaven forbid that you know, something so horrible would happen in somebody's life. I mean, for their child to be killed by a drunk driver, you know, it's just a horrible thing. It hasn't happened to me, but if I were to put myself in that situation, I would either on either side, as a person whose child was hit and killed by a drunk driver, being a parent myself, I can't even fathom the pain and anguish, the loss that I would feel. And even on the other side, as a person that had been drinking and driving, and I ran down a child and killed them, I could imagine the guilt, the horror of that situation, even though it might have been my fault and it was a mistake. I made the wrong choice and got in the car and drove drunk and hit a child and killed them. Myself personally, and I think it might be the same for anyone else that wasn't out deliberately driving, gunning down a child with their car. I mean, just driving intentionally and purposely looking for a child to run down. I would imagine that that person would have some remorse and some guilt. I imagine there would be some anguish and horror on their side too. I mean, if someone goes and gets an attorney and they're not punished for it by the civil law, by the statutes and the ordinances of man, because they had a lawyer that was able to work the law and represent them in such a way to where they didn't receive sanctions and punishments from the civil authorities. Spiritually, there is still consequences to be dealt with. And on the other side, our God is if you're asking a question about God like this, and you believe that there is a God, there's a certain amount of trust and faith that you should put in Him. I mean, He created you as a human being. He created life. And He created the universe. And His understanding is far, His wisdom and His ways are far above anything that we could fully comprehend. And we won't have the answers to every situation, why it happened or why it didn't happen. But there are promises and assurances and comfort that we can find in a relationship with God in all situations. So this type of question is a complicated question, and we don't want to be approach it in a flippant or look at it on an elementary level. Let's go to some scriptures and see what some of the things that the Lord, that the Word of God has to say about these situations of His wrath and His love. And let's just go over a few scriptures and consider some of these things. I'm not saying that I have the answer, but I want to address this question, and I want to apply the Word of God to it in the spirit of love, I'm praying that we will be encouraged and blessed, and that God will reveal Himself to us and answer these questions. So let me start with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. You love your children, don't you? Why do you correct them? Why do you chastise your children? Is it because you hate them and you want to see them suffer? No. It's the opposite. It's because you love them and you don't want to see them suffer. Even though the child may not like that chastisement and it may be uncomfortable for them for a moment, the rewards of that chastisement and that discipline can endure. They can become better because of that chastisement and that discipline. God our Father loves us. And this scripture is explaining that He will deal with you. He will deal with us as any father would, loving father would their children, and keep us and guide us to the good things in life and keep us in line with. He's seeking to keep us in line with His will, because His will is that we have the best in life, that we prosper. But God will punish the rebellious. Leviticus 26, chapter 26, verses 27 and 28 says, "If ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary also unto you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins." Basically, the Lord says, and he says it more than once in His word, if you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. God is a loving God, but He has set boundaries. He has set limits. He's a God of order, not chaos, not anarchy. He's not in heaven saying, "Hey, let's make a deal." He's in heaven saying, "This is the deal." He is a holy God. And he judges righteously. Sometimes we get over into our pride, and we try to lean to our own understanding, and we try to make God and His words and His judgment fit to what we think it should be, rather than fitting into what He says, and we run into problems. You know, we also live in a fallen world, and we do have an enemy to our souls. Everything, if something bad happens, do we want to blame God? Sometimes it's not God that did it. Sometimes it's our choice. We went against what God would want to have us do. And we have an enemy to our soul that wants to see the good things of God defiled, that wants to see us miss the mark, that wants to see us destroyed and perish along with Him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." The devil said that he was going to and fro in the earth, seeking who he may devour. He wants you dead. He wants death. He wants destruction. He wants company in hell. Just as Adam and Eve, in the beginning, just as it was then, it is now, we suffer from the consequences of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But there is hope." John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's why it is of the utmost importance that we have the right relationship with Christ, so that we may have victory and hope in all situations. John chapter 10 verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Even in death, when we're in the right relationship with Christ, we have a blessed assurance of hope. What a question. And it's something, you know, that it's worth looking into for yourself. Seek the Lord. Examine your life. Examine your ways. John chapter 8, verse 51 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death." What a promise. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Let me read it again in light of these things that we've bought out. "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." You know, what do we want to be? A child of disobedience and incur the wrath of God? Or do we want to accept Jesus Christ? If we accept Jesus Christ, we escape the wrath. We receive forgiveness. We're free from the law of sin and death. We receive eternal life, and we have hope in all situations. Jesus said that if we keep his sayings, we'll never see death. Praise God. We live in a fallen world. The best thing we can do, and the first thing we should do, is get right with Christ. Accept him. Give your life to him. Humble yourselves. Repent. Turn around from your wicked ways. Let Christ rule your life. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Maranatha.
The homeless are still homeless. The poor are still poor. Yet we find billions of dollars to fund senseless war.